In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Isaac and Souk.
The Cinderella story is over, man.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week on primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
You're talking your helmet!
The Fan.
Hey, what a dude!
Hi.
What's up? What's going on? What are you doing? How's life? What's up?
Big Ten Media.
Who cares?
That's what's up.
Oh, no. It's over. It's over!
We think.
Yeah, no, I think it's over.
It is.
We think!
But I consumed a lot. I consumed more Big Ten Media today than the past 2 days combined.
Me too.
Yeah.
I heard Dan Lanning 3 times today.
I heard Lanning on with, I guess it was not Dirt and Sprague. It was Sprague and Will. And then I heard him on the Pat McAfee show. So I heard Lanning twice.
Well, he was also on Danny and Dusty. They played his opening statements.
Okay.
His press conference.
And I heard some of Jed Fish. I heard Dylan Gabriel. I heard some Terrence Ferguson. I heard some Jonah Coleman. There's a lot. There's a lot of consumers. I had some Lincoln Riley. Some shots were taken.
Are you guys excited to hear what we've heard? They're probably like, who cares? Well, I don't know. I mean,
I saw a homeless fire. That happened.
Good little day. Good little 3 day media day.
We never did get to Frothing Wound.
No, yeah. I did not get to the Frothing
Wound. We got to get to that.
Yeah, the Frothing Wound was something. But today, coming down 205 from Clackamas was like just at a standstill. And it always frustrates me when you're like in a 20 minute delay. You want something of substance to delay you. Like the other day when we had the golf tournament. That was like an hour delay for me getting just even on the freeway. And it turned out like a cement truck and a semi overturned. That's legit, right? Like an hour to get on the freeway, which normally takes me about, let's say, 8 minutes. And then I was, you know, and you're all pissed. And then you see the overturned, when something that big is on its, is overturned, it's on its back. Then you're like, all right, you know what? Fair enough. But now, like, I was a 20-minute, basically 3-mile-an-hour crawl, and then I got up there, and it was a homeless fire on the other side of the freeway. Why? Why are we all stopped simply because of an encampment fire that was 6 lanes away from us?
Was it the looky-loos?
It was the looky-loos.
Just looking at... Yeah, well, fire's mesmerizing.
Well, but... Can we not look at it as we go 65?
I do.
Do we
that.
Need to be... going 6 miles an hour to look at the fire?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, all it was a bunch of, like, again, it was a bunch of tents and, you know, I don't know, whatever the, you know, the urban campers have. And then, you know, it's fire. bunch of smoke, but
yeah, move it along.
Yeah, we didn't need to.
We don't need to stare at that.
No.
What, you never seen fire before?
Yeah, it enraged me. I was like, yeah. And not that I want to see an accident, but again, I understand an accident. I understand someone blows a tire and then the car is sticking, the ass is sticking out into the lane. That I get, but the fire, and it would also make me feel better if the fire was on our side, because I'm going southbound. So if the fire was in like the brush going that direction, but have it to be on the other side of the freeway, shouldn't it only be then the north, or I guess, there'd be the southbound. I had flipped. Wouldn't it be the other direction that should have the big slowdown?
Yeah, but people are stupid. Mm. If you could... If you could unite people on one thing...
Yeah.
Okay, so we're very...
We're divided.
We're divided about everything.
Yeah.
Like, we can never agree on anything, right?
No.
But if I said to you, you can unite people and everyone will fall in line mm-hmm. on one topic, yeah. one thing,
yeah.
would you choose traffic... Where all of a sudden everybody doesn't have their head up their ass.
It's pretty good.
They're paying attention.
Yeah.
They're mind. You know, they're like they're driving. They're just everybody's a good driver, and everybody's courteous of the other drivers.
We all give each other 10 to 15 feet, so there would be no
All works great. There's nobody with their head up their ass. What would you, of all the things in the world?
But I'll tell you what, that's pretty good.
To unite people, wouldn't it be that?
Well, I think I would unite people into making me ruler and giving me all the money. But outside of that...
Well, that's not realistic.
Well, neither's the traffic thing and having people not have their head up their ass.
This whole scenario is not realistic.
That's fair.
Look, I'm just saying, if I could unite people and make me like, I don't know, I'm not going to say God, but God-like, yeah. You know, kind of like, you know, just...
See, it's all about you again.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
This is about people.
Society.
Coming together.
Traffic. Well, why can't we come together over giving me large sums of money?
No one would want that.
All right, I don't even want to be God anymore. Just
get creative. Steal that guy's money.
Yeah, that.
I mean, you could unite people on politics, but that would be no fun. You could
actually
unite,
that would be, you know,
you could unite people on
China
climate change, like trying to do something to help the world.
It would be pretty selfish to just say that we're gonna unite people on traffic, because there's
yeah, but it's useful.
It is useful
because everyone deals with it.
Yes.
How great would that be?
It is amazing when you think about it, that if everyone just backed off,
yeah.
if you gave everyone 20 feet, just give them 20 feet, it would solve like 90% of traffic problems. Because it's always
just pay attention.
Yeah, but I mean, paying attention still, if you're up someone's keister, no one else can, it's all merging. I mean, that's what it is people moving lanes and merging. So if you gave everyone ample space, if there was some sort of system that prevented you from being right up against a car, I'm assuming that kind of solves the majority of it, minus accidents, although that kind of solves accidents too.
I don't know, man. I just think people will find new and creative ways to screw up traffic. It only takes one or two people to be idiots to screw everything up. I was honked at today and I'm not happy about it.
Ooh, were you doing something to be honked at?
No, all I did was merge. Well, on I-5.
That's a honkable offense.
Why would the guy honk at me? It was some guy in a truck.
He didn't like the way you were merging.
I merged into the left lane going, getting onto I-5 north at mm-hmm. Terwilliger.
Did you not follow the zipper? Did you not wait your turn?
No. There was no other car merging. I was the only car merging, but all three lanes of traffic were packed, so this guy could not, he could not move over to the left,
yeah. right?
But there was a gap between him and the truck ahead of him, mm-hmm. and that was my
here's your opportunity.
And so I snuck in there with the blinker,
and
he honked at me.
And you got honked.
I'm like, what is that, dude?
See, this is where, again,
what do you want me to do?
This goes back to we need some form of communication, because you don't know what that honk was about. There should be some form of Bluetooth communication where you can say into your car, because you like what you have the Black Highlander, right? And that so be like, hey. Black Highlander.
It's pink.
Pink. And then he can instant message you.
Looking for the, because he came back around yeah. later in traffic
yeah.
and stared me down.
Yeah.
He did not like me for some reason.
No.
My pink Highlander.
And wouldn't you like to know what it was about you besides the pink Highlander that pissed him off?
No, I just think he's an idiot.
Oh, well.
And again, this is what I mean. Like, yeah. you never know what's going through someone's head. It's like, why would you be mad about somebody merging? Like, that's a you problem, not me, right? So I was looking for the, you know, the signs on the big trucks that say, how am I driving?
Yeah.
I was looking for that. I was gonna call his ass in.
Be like, hey, I just think we'd be better off.
But it wasn't even on this truck.
We need, again, I think you'd be better off if you would have known, because maybe you did do something.
I didn't.
But you don't know. You don't know why he's angry. And we need more information.
I don't care why he's angry. There would be no reason for him to be angry with me. And that is his problem.
Yeah. Well, a couple weeks back, I was going through, and I think I may have said this, but there was a guy on the little scooters. You know, the little Lime scooters or whatever? You know, I don't know what they call them.
Yeah, the electric ones that you can, like, rent and leave all over the city, those ones? Yeah.
I didn't see him. Just flat out didn't see him. You know, it's like, you know, you looked over there, and he started to go, and I started to go from a four-way stop, and I stopped. I was nowhere near him, you know. It's not like we had a near accident. It was just one of those where I had to, you know, start and then stop. And he gave me the very angry, you know, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whatever.
You didn't see him.
Yeah, I didn't see him. So I gave him the hand up. I gave him the wave.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the hand.
Up, my bad.
You know, I like to do the hand up. I'm a hand up guy. Because I'll be the first one to admit, a lot of times that I'm doing things in my car, I don't want to be doing them either. So I gave him the wave, and my man peels off and comes over to my car window. And I'm like, oh, my God. Are you serious?
Here we go.
And so I roll down my window. And the guy starts like, what the F, man? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you didn't see me? And I was like, no. And he's like,
why I waved. I was sorry.
And he thought I gave him the bird.
Oh, he thought you were flipping him off.
And I was like, no, dude. I was like, I didn't give you the bird. I gave you the hand. And he was like, oh.
All right, dude.
And he was like,
no, I won't kick your ass.
And I was like, well, dude, what's your problem? I said, dude, you shouldn't be coming over to anyone's window. And like, that's up. You're on a scooter. Like, this is a bad idea. You can't just kick a homeless person off a bike and take it. No, you can't.
Yes,
although
you can.
I've thought about it. But yeah, then I think he realized that, one, he's an idiot for coming over in the first place. Two, no one gave him the bird. And then he did the, oh, well, sorry. And then he drove off. And it was like, again, I need a way to communicate with him, because apparently the hand can look like the finger. I think you're just used to when someone raises their hand, I need a better way.
Well, the Vancouver Ford text line is in, and Jordan says, if you thought road rage was bad now, a communication method would not make things better. And he's right.
No.
He's right. It wouldn't work the way you think it would work.
Well, apparently I need to come up with something better than the hand. Maybe window down in hand? Because I did not like...
I've always wanted little Nerf balls to throw at people.
Yeah, that would go well. That would go well.
Well, I don't want to flip them off. That's rude. But I would like to throw Nerf balls at their window to make them at least for a split second think that I threw something hard at their window.
With all the road rage shootings,
biodegradable, of course.
Of course. My middle finger stays right tucked in my little fist.
Me too, man.
I do not.
No, I don't throw
under
that
any
out.
Circumstances throw the bird.
Nope, because that is what will bring out the gun.
Exactly.
The next thing after the bird is a gun.
And then that, you know what his response is, I felt threatened.
That's
like
right.
You were threatened by my finger? Well.
Never flip anyone off.
Who was the
except
douche,
for Buck.
The doucher that shot that guy.
Why do I get flipped off?
Like on NATO. Remember the Mercedes. His thing was, he thought that it was a setup. He thought that one guy was yelling at him, and that way the other guy could come behind and shoot him. That was his justification for shooting two people.
Yeah.
You keep that middle finger, and that's what I told the guy on the scooter. I said, you cannot be rolling up to people's window on your scooter. Like, you know, again, if that's the wrong guy, and he rolls up, like, literally right against my car as I roll down the window and he starts yelling, that's how you get shot.
But isn't this the problem, though? That's the problem. The problem is people don't have the wherewithal to think. They just act.
Yeah.
They react. They're very visceral, and that is not good.
That's not good. We need time to...
Yeah,
you need cool off time.
Calm down.
Yeah. Especially when you're on a scooter.
Well, not only that, but what are you going to accomplish?
I don't know. I'd like to think that guy left feeling like a dumbass that day. So, sorry, Lime scooter guy, but, you know.
Well, truck guy, I usually am, I'm pro truck driver.
Yeah.
But this guy was an ass.
Yeah. Well, to all those people looky-looing at the fire, that is, as far as I know, this was like 25 minutes ago that was still burning. It's just a fire. You see them all the time. Keep going.
All right, let's get to our poll question coming up next, and we're going to hear a little bit of Daniel Lanning.
Yes.
He was speaking again today.
He's very good on the podium.
Well, he is certainly, yeah, I've noticed.
He's no Deshaun Foster.
You know what? I've noticed, I don't know how much we're going to play of his stuff, but there is one relevant clip from Pat McAfee we have to play. But what I've heard of him, I noticed something about him today that I hadn't really noticed in the past.
Picked up on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like he's a polished guy. He's a good CEO.
So it's 3:13. We'll come back with our poll question. We'll hear Dan Lanning on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
A little REO Speedwagon on a beautiful Northwest Thursday. That makes me feel good.
Love the Speedwagon.
Dude, me too.
Eh, I'll give him 2 thumbs. Meh.
So we have, I'll get to our poll question in a second, but we have Dan Lanning audio coming up here. Do you know him?
I do.
You're a friend?
My dear friend.
Dan Lanning. He was out there at Media Day today.
You're talking your helmet!
The thing I noticed about him today, I listened to him 3 times. I happened to be in the car when I heard Ortner and Sprague interviewing him this morning on the morning show. And I got to tell you, when I first got in the car and I heard Ortner interviewing him, I was terrified because I'm like, what happened? Like, where's Dirt? Where's Sprague? And then Sprague came on. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So Ortner's filling in, because that scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't want Ortner and Lanning in the same.
I understand.
Yet.
Yeah. It's a work in progress.
So, heard that one. Then I heard the Pat McAfee thing, which we'll play for you in a moment. And then I heard his big podium. Danny and Dusty played his podium speech, you know. And I noticed that Dan Lanning has a lot more cheesy coach cliches now than he used to.
I did see on, I think it was with Will and Sprague, he even alluded to the here comes the cheesy coach speak. Landon is one of those guys that won't give you a lot. So if you ask, I think if you ask good questions, I do think Landon will give you honest answers. But you know there's questions he won't. And if you do, yeah, he gives you cheesy coach speak. And let's be honest, I'm not taking shots at anyone. Dude, there's a lot of people in the media that ask cheesy, cliche questions.
Oh, for sure. But I'm not, I think that there's a difference between coach speak and cheesy cliches. And what I mean by that is he'll give you coach speak when he doesn't want to answer a question. All coaches do.
Yes.
Coach speak is just word salad that gets them through the question without answering it.
Yes.
Every coach does that. They do it for a lot of reasons. There are certain situations you just can't say much. Okay. I'm talking about like things like he said, it might be in this clip that we're going to play, but I don't think it is. He said, his new one is, well, it's 1 + 1 + 1. You know, he's got things like this, meaning it's not just NIL. Yeah. It's NIL plus support from the program plus coaching. You know, and he's got like the rabbit. His big one now is the rabbit has the gun.
Yeah.
You know, like things like this. He's got a lot more of those now. He's
figured out a phrase or two that works and then adds to them. Now he's got a little arsenal to play with.
And that may be
kind of like watering the bamboo. Remember Chip Kelly with that whole thing?
Yeah.
And
there's a million of those. Hayes in the barn and the games won away from, you know, the practice field and all that. Like, I think what happens is, because Landon has become a pretty popular figure on the national level. Like, he does a lot of interviews now, way more than he used to. And I just think for coaches that do a lot of these, it probably is easier to have a handful of go-to sayings that you can just pull out of your pocket and throw out there, as opposed to having to come up with something new every time and worry about saying something you don't want to say or having a Deshaun Foster moment where you just blank. So I can see that. Yeah. I can see as it goes
along.
Well,
he's been working on it.
Yeah.
You can tell he's thinking about these things. And they're really good because they explain what he's thinking very well.
Yeah.
But you can tell he's thought them out.
Sure.
So he's got a lot more of those now, which I think is great.
And I think that does make you come across a little more polished. Unless you use the same one over
again. Well, let's keep him honest in that regard.
Yeah, well, maybe. Because
he might.
We noticed a lot of 1 + 1 + 1. Might be time to come up with something new.
All right, so we'll get to that in a second. Poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, who is the most overrated Big Ten football coach? Lincoln Riley wins at 45%. Man, no love for that guy.
How quick the tide turns
I don't
on,
get
on
it.
That.
I really don't. I mean,
he's had one sketchy year. That's
he is
it.
A really good coach.
Yes.
And I think that, quite honestly, if he fails at USC, to me it's more of an indictment on USC than it is Lincoln Riley. Because that guy has won and won big everywhere he's gone, and then all of a sudden he goes to USC and fails? Interesting. I think USC is a sneaky, too many cooks in the kitchen, bad job. Now, I'm not calling it a bad job. I just mean, you know what I mean.
It's not as blue-bloody as everyone thinks. We have always said, and most of us, the editorial, have always said that USC is like a top five job. And I'm with you. I'm not certain that it is. It's a really good job. But yeah, I think there's downsides to it. And maybe we're seeing some of that. But it's crazy to think that USC is going into the Big Ten and they are the definition of an afterthought. And I just said, like, be careful. You know, Lincoln Riley, if they get the defense right, they are going to be fine. And it sure sounds like they're attempting to get the defense right and they're not just burying their head in the sand. Problem is, their schedule is just murderous.
PJ Fleck, 25%.
Hey, PJ Fleck, by the way, now best friends with Dan Lanning.
Oh, why?
You didn't hear any of that?
Uh-uh.
PJ Fleck on his press conference was very, very complimentary of Dan Lanning. And Dan Lanning on PJ Fleck, I guess they've been bumming around and like...
What?
Yeah, a lot of positive energy coming from those two.
Oh, no.
There's a bromance going on.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards turds.
Speaking of a guy that loves cliches.
That is a man that does not surround himself with turds.
No.
And he is not headed towards Turdville hanging around Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Lanning and PJ Fleck.
Boy, that's
both
interesting.
Both loved them some one another.
Does that make you, do you kind of go, oh, Dan?
Well, I think.
Like, Dan, of all the Big Ten coaches, who do you think he would be buddies with? I wouldn't have picked Fleck.
It turns out it's PJ Fleck.
I would have picked, well,
I don't think you're going to be friends with any of the big rivals. I think PJ is one of those guys that you don't feel threatened by. And I think Dan Lanning just seems You want to talk about Rabbit? That dude's just an energizer bunny and just goes. And I think when you're obsessed like that, PJ Fleck is one of those guys. And so I think those dudes flock together. It's like guys that do CrossFit.
Right. It's
you ever find CrossFit guy? I promise you, he's hanging around 9 other CrossFit bros.
It's like two dudes who finally come across another person who gets it the way they do.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, do you not like sleeping too and thinking nonstop about everything? And PJ Fleck's like, yep.
Yes.
Did we just become best friends? Yep. Yeah, it's one
We're
of those.
We're the two best friends that anyone could have. So today's poll. Who's the most overrated
Big
Ten? Who's the most overrated Big Ten football coach? Lincoln Riley, 45%. PJ Fleck, 25%. James Franklin, 19%. Ryan Day, 11%. Today's poll question is as follows. It is up there for you on X. Oregon plays Oregon State, UCLA, Purdue, Michigan, and Wisconsin on the road. What will be their record? 5-0, 4-1, 3-2, 2-3 or worse.
4-1.
Vote and vote hard.
Michigan or Wisconsin, one of them.
Go Beavers! How about that?
One of them will get them.
So they'll drop one.
They'll drop one.
Okay.
But they're not. No offense, but to any of those other schools, they're not. Not losing anyone else.
Okay.
The two ones that are potential upsets are Michigan and Wisconsin. And you figure, course of a long season, you know, weird things happen, and you know, those are tough places to go play. You know, it's the big house in Camp Randall. That's not exactly a cakewalk. And by the way, both those teams should be pretty good. But isn't it weird to say that from a talent standpoint, Oregon is going to be better than both of those teams, probably by a significant margin?
And don't they know it?
Yes,
Oregon. Vote hard. Okay, so Dan Lanning was on the Pat McAfee show apparently at 4:45 this morning.
Ooh, gosh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's very, very early.
And I think he was in studio with him.
I just saw a clip. He was in studio with him. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess Pat's an indie guy, so maybe he gets to do his stuff remote. I guess that makes it easier.
Well, I think Lanning landed there this morning and went straight to their studio and then to Big Ten Media Day.
That sounds from like what the timeline, yeah.
So, well,
when you're Pat McAfee, those coaches will do those sorts of things for you. I mean,
yeah,
honestly, in the world of sports,
that's a
top three show to go on.
Yeah, I think it. And well, he's got the football cred.
Yeah,
but he's also got the.
He's got a pretty young reach.
Yeah, he's got the fun vibe.
Yeah,
and I think that if I'm a coach, especially Lanning, I think I would like that more so than the Paul Feinbaum show or something like that. At any rate, Pat McAfee does need to shorten up his questions.
Well, that's not going to happen.
He's a rambling question guy.
Pat likes some Pat.
At any rate, do you want to hear Dan Lanning talking about Kirby Smart's jab?
I already know it, but let's hear it again.
Oh, okay, let's hear it again.
We don't have that yet. I think it's impressive that, you know, guys like Kirby have been signing the number one class in the nation without, you know, any NIL money this entire time. So impressive. No. Hey, obviously, you know, Coach Smart took a little shot at us. I don't think it's a serious. If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better have great support. We have that, you know, but it's not, it's 1 + 1 + 1, right? It's also the 300 teams that we went to this spring to visit. It's the 23 satellite camps. It's when they come to your campus. It's our staff. It's our alignment with our entire university that makes, you know, recruiting work.
See, 1 + 1 + 1.
1 + 1 + 1 is what?
I don't 3.
Know. Oh, I can't
see. It's more than just one in just NIL.
I see.
And
where
he's right
going
though.
With this.
I'm glad he said that because
we've talked about this.
It's absurd that Kirby Smart, dude. Like I said, it's one thing if it's the Oregon State coach crying about it. It's another if it's Kirby Smart. You've won 2 national championships. You have you have a top 5 recruiting class every year.
You beat Oregon 49-3 2 years ago, for God's sake.
Shut up.
Let it go.
So I'm glad Lanning called him out on that.
Well, and they've got a good relationship. So you could tell there was some tongue-in-cheek stuff there, too. So, you know, that's kind of the fun part, too, is that, you know, there's no bad blood there between Lanning and Kirby. It's just like, hey, you took a shot and we'll kind of take one back.
Well, I'm kind of hoping it turns into bad blood and they start to hate each other.
That would be tough. You'd have to see each other a lot in the playoff for that to happen. Lanning doesn't seem like a super bitter, hateful guy.
Well, no, because you know what? Another thing is because I heard him with Durton Sprague this morning, or Willen Sprague, and he was very big on that. He kind of insulted Sprague and us
He did. Oh, yeah, I do. I know.
He basically just said everything you talk about.
I don't care.
I don't care. It sucks. No one cares. It's like and his point was
inconsequential.
It does not matter to wins and losses. Yes. That guy only cares about what matters to wins and losses. And if he were to fight Kirby Smart, it would not matter to wins and losses. Therefore, he doesn't care.
That's a good point. Plus, I don't know. Dude, Kirby's scrappy. Kirby was an all SEC safety. I know he's put on a few pounds and is a little older, but
I'd take Lanning.
I bet you Kirby could scrap a little bit.
I'd take Lanning. So we have more Lanning audio, which we'll play for you next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Big Ten Media Days on the Fan are brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Big Ten Media Day has wrapped up, but we are covering a little bit of what Oregon's coach had to say today. Dan Lanning, our friend, was out there in Indy, and you heard him on the Pat McAfee show this morning, bright and early. And now we will play for you his opening statement at the podium. I think a little better than Deshaun Foster.
Just a scooch.
But I'm not sure. Let's take a listen.
Ultimately, what should the Big Ten know about Oregon? That we're mighty different. Mighty different in a lot of ways. You look out there in the pond, you'll see a big old duck. I'm hoping we get to travel that duck to all of our away games this year, right? We're mighty different when it comes to the jerseys you might see us wear or the facilities that we get to be in, and we're innovative. And we've always been on the cutting edge of everything we do. We're certainly positioning ourselves to be in the cutting edge, and we're grateful for the opportunity to compete in the Big Ten. Excited about this opportunity in front of us and excited to see what this team does. It's a brand new team. It's not the same new team as last year. You know, on our team right now, there's 10 players that were on this team when I first got here. So you're talking about a new group. And these guys have completely bought in. Excited to see them perform. I know they're anxious to get on the field, but there's a lot of work between now and then before we do that.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, slightly different than.
It's exciting.
Well, clearly. Because
it's not a pond, though. It's a river.
That is true. Although maybe the whole duck pond thing.
Ducks on the pond.
Right.
Yeah. Either way, I do hope they bring the giant inflatable duck. That would be hilarious.
Maybe he's just trying to get under people's skin by calling it a pond, and he knows they'll get mad about it.
Right.
Is anyone passionate about the White River in Indianapolis?
Probably somebody gets uppity about it.
Did you know that it was the White River?
Because
I didn't.
No, I just, when I saw the, like, previous to this?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I mean.
No.
Like, if I said to you, what river runs through downtown Indianapolis,
what would you have said? I would have said the Indianapolis River.
I would have said the Indiana River.
I would have said the Missouri River.
The Missouri River? Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't even know, like, just, I guess that just popped into my head because I saw the clip, or like the photo, and it said the duck's like in the White River. And I wasn't even certain when I said White River that I was correct. I was like, I think that's what it was, but you know how I feel about the whites. I love it. But yeah, put that thing on Lake Michigan, you know, bring that thing up into Ann Arbor. Let's go. Just bring that big, you know, you got that semi that has to roll out there. You deflate that thing, roll it up and take it on the road. But yeah, I think they asked every coach. I've listened to enough of these little tidbits of the Big Ten coaches. I think they asked the four new coaches to say a little something about themselves because Lincoln Riley did it. Yeah. Did you hear Jed Fishes?
No. What did he say?
Do you have Fishes?
Let me look. I probably do.
Yeah. Well, because it was basically like say like kind of something about your school. You know, he said, you know, hey, you know, we're innovative, all that.
Deshaun Foster thought to tell everyone that UCLA was in LA.
And so is USC. And then just froze. Then he just Bidened or McConnelled on stage. No, Jed Fishes was slightly better. Well, I'll see if Buck can pull it off. If not, I'll tell you.
I don't have it now, but I can pull it for a later segment.
Jed Fish, when talking about his school and what is like different about UW, he did say they beat Oregon three times in a row, which I thought was great. You know, because no one's talking.
I would have used that too.
Yeah, no one's talking about UW, and they have every right. Like I hear this all the time from Husky fan, and they have every right to say this because no one talks about UW. No one talked about UW last year. Everyone just sits there and bloviates over Oregon, and UW is sitting there being like, what do you want? We beat you three times in the last 2 years. So I thought it was kind of funny that the Jed Fish took his little podium shot and was like, yeah, something about us. We beat Oregon 3 years in a row. And by the way, you know, we're pretty good up in Seattle as well. And no one's talking. I mean, you don't think anyone's talking about like USC. No one's talking about UW. And then UCLA, I mean, my God, the only thing anyone's saying about UCLA is Deshaun Foster can't be in front of a microphone.
Yeah, it's funny how narratives change, right? With Washington, it was DeBoer left, cupboard bare, mess.
Yeah.
But then they hire Fish.
Yeah.
And he kind of stabilizes things. Mm-hmm. And they get the quarterback because they have Rodgers coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people now are like, well, watch out for Washington. 3 months ago, it was, oh, they're effed.
Yep.
Same thing with Michigan. Yep. It was like, Harbaugh is leaving. They just won the title.
18 players leave.
Yeah. But now everybody's like, whoa, watch out for Michigan. I mean, it's just, come on, man.
Well, it's
who
it's,
knows?
It's one of those
and
things.
And USC is another one. It's
USC
like,
is,
everybody's crapping on them now.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, they won, what, 11 games 2 years ago. And last year, yeah, it didn't go well. The defense completely fell apart. We had Caleb Williams crying, and now USC sucks. And Lincoln Riley can't coach, and he's on a hot seat. I would also point out it's the same group of jackasses that think that Ryan Day's job could be in trouble. Even though he's like 58 and I think he's 58-8 and has played for a national title, but he sucks now. And, you know, Dabo, who's won two national titles, he sucks. He can't coach. You know, they just the truth of the matter is there is no staying power in college football and sports in general. No one gives a damn what you've done. You know, Bill Belichick, again, is the greatest coach of all time, and Bill couldn't sniff a job. It's what have you done for me lately? And we've moved on to the next thing. And whether it's accurate or not, the next thing right now is Oregon and Ohio State. Outside of that, everything else in the Big Ten, how about being Michigan? You've beat Ohio State 3 years in a row. You just won a national title. And Michigan is a bit of an afterthought because that's all anyone's talking about is
the same spot as Washington.
Is Washington.
Just beat Oregon twice.
Yeah.
Or is it three
times?
Is it three in a row?
Yeah, three in a row.
And then played in the national title game.
And everyone's like,
yeah. But we're like, yeah.
Yeah, but what about Oregon?
Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning's a lot better at press conferences than he is at beating Washington.
That is true. He wins a lot of press conferences.
That's undeniable.
He hasn't won a lot of UW games.
Undeniable.
So, and Fish, you know, Jed Fish will mix it up too. Although, I thought it was interesting. Jonah Coleman, their running back, said that he was talking about Fish and how he's the greatest guy in the world, and it was a no-brainer. He said that as soon as Fish landed at UW, everyone that helped build what happened down in Arizona last year went with him. And I was like, quarterback and then McMillan, the best two players on the team, they didn't come.
Yeah, maybe the most two important players to improving that program with Fish stayed.
I was like, yeah. So, you know.
You mean they stayed at Arizona?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he said anyone that mattered, because he brought most of the coaches, he brought the strength conditioning staff, brought a bunch of players from Arizona, and so the stud running back, and he's really, really good, if you watched Arizona play last year. But yeah, I thought it was a little short-sighted when he said everyone that helped build this left and came up to UW. And I was like, yeah, there might be two guys.
What's that guy's name? Tafita?
Fafita?
Noah
Fafita?
Noah Fafita?
Yeah.
The Arizona quarterback?
Yeah. Because everyone thought he would leave. But
not everyone. I didn't. You didn't ask me what I thought.
I didn't ask you. Sorry. Most people thought that he would be the first one to,
I tell you what, man.
The first one to go. But there was some Arizona booster. I forget who it was, but they were like their main booster. He was the one that got all pissy and said, you know, Fish can basically go to hell and he's the worst dude in the world. And he came out and said, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that our star players don't go. And I guess, I mean, the rumor is that he just threw a ton of money at, T-Mac, the wide receiver, and then Fafita, the quarterback. And he got them both to stay. Because everyone assumed that running back, quarterback, receiver were all heading up north. And Arizona kept two of the three.
Well, these off-season narratives are pretty nauseating. But it is good to be back talking about college football. Maybe we just let them, you know, let's let camp happen and let them lace them up and play a few games before we
Yeah, that big Idaho game.
Well, that's another thing Dan Lanning said. He said the most important game on our schedule.
Oh, God, I hate that. I know, I heard that. And it's
Idaho.
No, it's not, Dan.
That was Chip's old thing, too. He said every week is our Super Bowl. Yeah, you know, not. We're preparing for Super Bowl every week.
Idaho is not your Super Bowl, nor is Boise State.
And then he said, I don't know if Idaho is going to become a rival, but.
I think that was I hope that was a joke, because they were talking about Ohio State.
You know, I do, one thing I will say is I think that, and I don't know if this is true of the Big Ten coaches, they seem a little more buttoned up. I know the SEC coaches are. Yeah. But I feel like the Pac-12 coaches right now, they're willing to say some stuff. Like you said, Fish will mix it up. Lanning certainly does. Lincoln Riley, that guy is not afraid to. I mean, like today he was talking about getting rid of the Notre Dame rivalry, and that, of course, is going to ruffle some feathers. I mean, he's been known to just say what he thinks. I just like that coaches are being less coach speaky, even though they're still very coach speaky these days, you know?
Yeah. Well, and
I like that.
I'm with you because it
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
Lanning, say what you will about Oregon, and there's a lot to say about Oregon. He's not shy, man. He's out there stirring it up. Yeah. Rabbit has the gun. You know, all this stuff.
That big.
Taking shots back at Kirby.
Taking shots at Idaho. That big rivalry game against Idaho.
Hey, that's the most important game on the schedule.
That may be my most.
Well, it is. He's got to say that.
I know, but if you had to say my most, because you were talking coach speak earlier, my biggest coach role eye roll is, I don't know. It's one of two things. Everyone has to earn their job, and all players are the same. That one drives me crazy because
competition everywhere.
No, it's not true. And the every game is the same. That the Idaho game is the same as the Boise State game, is the same as the Oregon State game, and then Michigan State, and then Ohio State. No, it's not. Stop it. Stop it.
But you get why they say that, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but
they have to keep their guys focused on the task at hand.
Oregon's first game is at home against Idaho.
The Vandals.
USC's first game,
it's a big one,
is in Vegas against LSU.
Cool.
Those are different.
That's a cool game.
That is a cool game. But that's why Lincoln Riley's like, hey, maybe we should reconsider Notre Dame.
Well, he did say he likes the way Alabama schedules.
I mean, it makes sense. Although, to be fair to Alabama almost every year plays one.
Yeah.
Usually,
he said that. He said, I like the way Alabama schedules. You know, they're going to Wisconsin this year. They're not afraid, but at the same time, the other two games are cupcakes.
Well, if you're scheduling, and this is where I'll buy into it. If you're scheduling LSU, and yes, neutral site, whatever, Vegas, I don't care where that game is. If you schedule LSU to start the season, you know what shouldn't be November 30th? Notre Dame. Just shouldn't. I mean, that's if you are trying to set yourself up for success, that is a terrible way to go about setting yourself up for success.
All right. We continue next. I've got two things for you. I don't know if we can get them all in one seggy, but
we'll see what we can do.
Who are the real college football blue bloods?
Yeah.
And tomorrow, the opening ceremonies at the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about that, Jace?
No.
Fired up?
No, not really.
I'm fired up. I love the Olympics.
I watched some Olympic rugby.
We have Oregon, Southwest Washington athletes to know.
Ooh. Hey, and you know what?
In Paris.
You better bring your A game next segment, because guess what? This spot, it's not guaranteed. You have to earn this spot
always
every
competing.
Segment.
Always competing.
Schultze and Ortner are coming for you.
Always also, competing. The Olympics are the next thing, so they are our Super Bowl.
That's right.
That's true.
Yes. This next segment is my Super Bowl.
Yes. Tell the next
and one. I treat every segment like that. It is 349 on the Fan. Baseball note, we had a no-hitter today.
Yeah, I saw that.
The great Dylan Cease of the Padres, my Padres.
They must have played pretty early.
Yeah, they started at 9.
Yeah, it was like
East Coast day game on a getaway day. Yeah, so yeah, it was like a 12:35 start there, so it was like 9 a.m.
It
here.
It threw me for a loop when I saw the perfect game. I was like,
well, no, it was a no-hitter.
No, no-hitter, sorry. When I saw that, I saw it on Twitter, and I saw it relatively early, and I thought, was that yesterday? Because I'm like, I didn't see that yesterday, and then it threw me because it was such an early game.
He no-hit the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Just the second no-hitter in Padres history.
Who had the first no-hitter in Padres history?
Oh, that's a good trivia question.
Anybody?
You want to take a stab? I know who it is because I saw it today, but they hadn't had one for years. You remember that, right? Like, they had never had one in their history until a couple of years ago.
Just a couple of years ago, huh? Some
correct.
Modern guy. I'm trying to think. Was Darvish, maybe?
That's a good guess. It was Joe Musgrove.
Oh, man. I would not have got that
guy. That guy's a douche.
Is he? Why?
I got into it with the Mets the year that the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Ah! All right, Big Ten Media Days on the Fan are brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Big Ten Media Day has wrapped up, but we are covering a little bit of what Oregon's coach had to say today. Dan Lanning, our friend, was out there in Indy, and you heard him on the Pat McAfee show this morning, bright and early. And now we will play for you his opening statement at the podium. I think a little better than Deshaun Foster.
Just a scooch.
But I'm not sure. Let's take a listen.
Ultimately, what should the Big Ten know about Oregon? That we're mighty different. Mighty different in a lot of ways. You look out there in the pond, you'll see a big old duck. I'm hoping we get to travel that duck to all of our away games this year. Right? We're mighty different when it comes to the jerseys you might see us wear or the facilities that we get to be in. And we're innovative. And we've always been on the cutting edge of everything we do. We're certainly positioning ourselves to be in the cutting edge. And we're grateful for the opportunity to compete in the Big Ten. Excited about this opportunity in front of us and excited to see what this team does. It's a brand new team. It's not the same new team as last year. You know, on our team right now, there's 10 players that were on this team when I first got here. So you're talking about a new group. And these guys have completely bought in. Excited to see them perform. I know they're anxious to get on the field, but there's a lot of work between now and then before we do that.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, slightly different than.
It's exciting.
Well, clearly. Because
it's not a pond, though. It's a river.
That is true. Although maybe the whole duck pond thing.
Ducks on the pond.
Right.
Yeah. Either way, I do hope they bring the giant inflatable duck. That would be hilarious.
Maybe he's just trying to get under people's skin by calling it a pond, and he knows they'll get mad about it.
Right.
Is anyone passionate about the White River in Indianapolis?
Probably somebody gets uppity about it.
Did you know that it was the White River?
Because
I didn't.
No, I just, when I saw the, like, previous to this?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I mean.
No.
Like, if I said to you, what river runs through downtown Indianapolis,
what would you have said? I would have said the Indianapolis River.
I would have said the Indiana River.
I would have said the Missouri River.
The Missouri River? Yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't even know, like, just, I guess that just popped into my head because I saw the clip, or like the photo, and it said the duck's like in the White River. And I wasn't even certain when I said White River that I was correct. I was like, I think that's what it was, but you know how I feel about the whites. I love it. But yeah, put that thing on Lake Michigan, you know, bring that thing up into Ann Arbor. Let's go. Just bring that big, you know, you got that semi that has to roll out there. You deflate that thing, roll it up and take it on the road. But yeah, I think they asked every coach. I've listened to enough of these little tidbits of the Big Ten coaches. I think they asked the four new coaches to say a little something about themselves because Lincoln Riley did it. Yeah. Did you hear Jed Fish's?
No. What did he say?
Do you have Fish's?
Let me look. I probably do.
Yeah. Well, because it was basically like, say, like, kind of something about your school. You know, he said, you know, yeah, hey, you know, we're innovative, all that.
Deshaun Foster thought to tell everyone that UCLA was in LA.
And so is USC. And then just froze. Then he just Bidened or McConnelled on stage. No, Jed Fish's was slightly better. I'll see if Buck can pull it off. If not, I'll tell you.
I don't have it now, but I can pull it for a later segment.
Jed Fish, when talking about his school and what is like different about UW, he did say they beat Oregon three times in a row, which I thought was great. You know, because no one's talking about...
I would have used that too.
Yeah, no one's talking about UW, and they have every right. Like, I hear this all the time from Husky fan, and they have every right to say this because no one talks about UW. No one talked about UW last year. Everyone just sits there and bloviates over Oregon, and UW is sitting there being like, what do you want? We beat you three times in the last 2 years. So I thought it was kind of funny that the Jed Fish took his little podium shot and was like, yeah, something about us. We beat Oregon 3 years in a row. And by the way, you know, we're pretty good up in Seattle as well. And no one's talking. I mean, you don't think anyone's talking about like USC. No one's talking about UW. And then UCLA. I mean, my God, the only thing anyone's saying about UCLA is Deshaun Foster can't be in front of a microphone.
Yeah, it's funny how narratives change, right? With Washington, it was DeBoer left, cupboard bare, mess.
Yeah.
But then they hire Fish.
Yeah.
And he kind of stabilizes things. Mm-hmm. And they get the quarterback, because they have Rodgers coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people now are like, well, watch out for Washington. 3 months ago, it was, oh, they're effed.
Yep.
Same thing with Michigan. Yep. It was like Harbaugh is leaving. They just won the title.
18 players leave.
Yeah. But now everybody's like, well, watch out for Michigan. I mean, it's just, come on, man.
Well, it's
who
it's,
knows?
It's one of those
and
things.
And USC is another one. It's
USC
like,
is.
Everybody's crapping on them now. Yeah. It's like.
Yeah, they won, what, 11 games 2 years ago, and last year, yeah, it didn't go well. The defense completely fell apart. We had Caleb Williams crying, and now USC sucks, and Lincoln Riley can't coach, and he's on a hot seat. I would also point out it's the same group of jackasses that think that Ryan Day's job could be in trouble, even though he's like 58 and I think he's 58-8 and has played for a national title, but he sucks now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Dabo, who's won two national titles, he sucks. He can't coach. You know, they just the truth of the matter is there is no staying power in college football and sports in general. No one gives a damn what you've done. You know, Bill Belichick, again, is the greatest coach of all time, and Bill couldn't sniff a job. It's what have you done for me lately? And we've moved on to the next thing. And whether it's accurate or not, the next thing right now is Oregon and Ohio State. Outside of that, everything else in the Big Ten, how about being Michigan? You've beat Ohio State 3 years in a row. You just won a national title. And Michigan is a bit of an afterthought because all anyone's talking about is
the same spot as Washington.
Is Washington.
Just beat Oregon twice.
Yeah.
Or is it three
times?
Is it three in a row?
Yep. Three in a row.
And then played in the national title game.
And everyone's like, yeah.
But we're like, yeah.
Yeah, but what about Oregon?
Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning's a lot better at press conferences than he is at beating Washington.
That is true. He wins a lot of press conferences.
That's undeniable.
He hasn't won a lot of UW games.
Undeniable.
So, and Fish, you know, Jed Fish will mix it up too. Although, I thought it was interesting, Jonah Coleman, their running back, said that he was talking about Fish and how he's the greatest guy in the world, and it was a no-brainer. He said that as soon as Fish landed at UW, everyone that helped build what happened down in Arizona last year went with him. And I was like, your quarterback and then McMillan, the best two players on the team, they didn't come.
Yeah, maybe the most two important players to improving that program with Fish stayed.
I was like, yeah. So,
you mean they stayed at Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said anyone that mattered, because he brought most of the coaches, he brought the strength conditioning staff, brought a bunch of players from Arizona, and so the stud running back, and he's really, really good, if you watched Arizona play last year. But yeah, I thought it was a little short-sighted when he said, everyone that helped build this left and came up to UW. And I was like, yeah, there might be two guys.
What's that guy's name? Tafita?
Fafita?
Noah Fafita?
Yeah.
The Arizona quarterback?
Yeah. Because everyone thought he would leave, but...
Not everyone. I didn't. You didn't ask me what I thought.
I didn't ask you. Sorry. Most people thought that he would be the first one to go. But there was some Arizona booster. I forget who it was, but they were like their main booster. He was the one that got all pissy and said, you know, Fish can basically go to hell and he's the worst dude in the world. And he came out and said, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that our star players don't go. And I guess, I mean, the rumor is that he just threw a ton of money at T-Mac, the wide receiver, and then Fifita, the quarterback. And he got them both to stay. Because everyone assumed that running back, quarterback, receiver were all heading up north. And Arizona kept two of the three.
Well, these off-season narratives are pretty nauseating, but it is good to be back talking about college football. Maybe we just let them, you know, let's let camp happen and let them lace them up and play a few games before we
Big Idaho game.
Well, that's another thing Dan Lanning said. He said the most important game on our schedule.
Oh, God, I hate that. I know, I heard that. And it's just,
Idaho.
No, it's not, Dan.
That was Chip's old thing, too. He said every week is our Super Bowl. Yeah, you know, we're preparing for Super Bowl every week.
Idaho is not your Super Bowl, nor is Boise State.
And then he said, I don't know if Idaho is going to become a rival. But
I think that was I hope that was a joke, because they were talking about Ohio State.
You know, I do, one thing I will say is I think that, and I don't know if this is true of the Big Ten coaches, they seem a little more buttoned up. I know the SEC coaches are. Yeah. But I feel like the Pac-12 coaches right now, they're willing to say some stuff. Like you said, Fish will mix it up. Lanning certainly does. Lincoln Riley, that guy is not afraid to. I mean, like today he was talking about getting rid of the Notre Dame rivalry, and that, of course, is going to ruffle some feathers. I mean, he's been known to just say what he thinks. I just like that coaches are being less coach speaky, even though they're still very coach speaky these days, you know?
Yeah. Well, and
I like that.
I'm with you because
it's interesting.
It's interesting.
Lanning, say what you will about Oregon, and there's a lot to say about Oregon. He's not shy, man. He's out there stirring it up. Yeah. Rabbit has the gun, you know, all this stuff.
That big
taking shots back at Kirby.
Taking shots at Idaho. That big rivalry game against Idaho.
Hey, that's the most important game on the schedule.
That may be my most.
Well, it is. He's got to say that.
I know, but if you had to say my most, because you were talking coach speak earlier, my biggest coach role, eye roll is, I don't know. It's one of two things. Everyone has to earn their job, and all players are the same. That one drives me crazy because
competition everywhere.
No, it's not true. And the every game is the same. That the Idaho game is the same as the Boise State game, is the same as the Oregon State game, and then Michigan State, and then Ohio State. No, it's not. Stop it. Stop it.
But you get why they say that, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but USC,
they have to keep their guys focused on the task at hand.
Oregon's first game is at home against Idaho.
The Vandals.
USC's first game,
it's a big one,
is in Vegas against LSU.
Cool.
Those are different.
That's a cool game.
That is a cool game. But that's why Lincoln Riley's like, hey, maybe we should reconsider Notre Dame.
Well, he did say he likes the way Alabama schedules.
I mean, it makes sense. Although, to be fair to Alabama almost every year plays one.
Yeah.
Usually,
he said that. He said, I like the way Alabama schedules. You know, they're going to Wisconsin this year. They're not afraid, but at the same time, the other two games are cupcakes.
Well, if you're scheduling, and this is where I'll buy into it. If you're scheduling LSU, and yes, neutral site, whatever, Vegas, I don't care where that game is. If you schedule LSU to start the season, you know what shouldn't be November 30th? Notre Dame. Just shouldn't. I mean, that's if you are trying to set yourself up for success, that is a terrible way to go about setting yourself up for success.
All right. We continue next. I've got two things for you. I don't know if we can get them all in one seggy, but
we'll see what we can do.
Who are the real college football blue bloods?
Yeah.
And tomorrow, the opening ceremonies at the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about that, Jace?
No.
Fired up?
No, not really.
I'm fired up. I love the Olympics.
I watched some Olympic rugby.
We have Oregon, Southwest Washington athletes to know.
Ooh. Hey, and you know what?
In Paris.
You better bring your A game next segment, because guess what? This spot, it's not guaranteed. You have to earn this spot
Always competing.
Schultze and Ortner are coming for you.
Also, the Olympics are the next thing, so they are our Super Bowl.
That's right.
That's true.
Yes. This next segment is my Super Bowl.
Yes. Tell the next
one. I treat every segment like that. It is 349 on the Fan. Baseball note, we had a no-hitter today.
Yeah, I saw that.
The great Dylan Cease of the Padres, my Padres.
They must have played pretty early.
Yeah, they started at 9.
Yeah, it was like
East Coast day game on a getaway day. Yeah, so yeah, it was like a 12:35 start there. So it was like 9 a.m. here.
It threw me for a loop when I saw the perfect game. I was like,
well, no, it was a no hitter.
Sorry. When I saw that, I saw it on Twitter, and I saw it relatively early, and I thought, was that yesterday? Because I'm like, I didn't see that yesterday, and then it threw me because it was such an early game.
He no-hit the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Just the second no-hitter in Padres history.
Who had the first no-hitter in Padres history?
Oh, that's a good trivia question.
Anybody?
You want to take a stab? I know who it is because I saw it today, but they hadn't had one for years. You remember that, right? Like, they had never had one in their history until a couple of years ago.
Just a couple of years ago, huh? So correct. A modern guy. I'm trying to think. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Was Darvish, maybe?
That's a good guess. It was Joe Musgrove.
Oh, man. I would not have got that guy.
That guy's a douche.
Is he? Why?
I got into it with the Mets the year that the Padres and those, you know.
He's a little high T.
Yeah, he's super, well, a little.
Yeah.
He needs some of that Rob 33% less T.
36.4.
That guy's a...
I've changed the number.
Okay. We're working on it. Can I also point out my Mets?
You may.
Who
you
are
may.
The daddy of the New York Yankees.
They win again today?
Oh, they bitch slapped him yesterday.
Yeah, I hate the Yankees.
Yeah, they're done. They're moving on to the Braves. Now we get to bitch slap the Braves. Let's go.
Did you hear what Severino said? He pitches for the Mets.
What did he say?
He said the Yankees only have two good hitters.
Oh. I'm assuming he's talking about Soto and that other big Frankenstein-looking dude.
Aaron Judge?
You think?
Yeah, I would think. That's it. Two good hitters.
That's what he said.
All right, well.
And that ruffled a lot of Yankee feathers, but he's not wrong. Yeah. Look at the rest of their lineup. Not very good.
Well. All I know is the Mets right now are cruising, and they're slapping around the Yankees.
Your boy Severino talking some ass. What do you think about that?
I think he pitches.
Talking with his helmet.
You
cover your
helmet! You wear a helmet out there? On the mound? Like a John Olerud sort of thing? He's pitching tonight against the Braves.
Well, you did have that guy on the Mets for a while that wore like the Mario hat. Remember that dude?
Yeah, I do remember that, which is just odd, but... Well, it's going to be weird, too. Like, they say that now in the NFL, they're giving them the option to wear the little great gazoo, the soft cap,
yeah,
on top of that. So that'll be strange if anyone actually decides to do it.
All right. Who are the real blue bloods of college football? We will make Sook guess.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Who picked the real blue bloods?
Well, I'll tell you.
A formula.
It is 355 on the Fan. Baseball note, we had a no-hitter today.
Yeah, I saw that.
The great Dylan Cease of the Padres, my Padres.
They must have played pretty early.
Yeah, they started at 9.
Yeah, it was like...
East Coast day game on a getaway day. Yeah, so yeah, it was like a 12:35 start there. So it was like 9 a.m. here.
It threw me for a loop when I saw the perfect game. I was like...
Well, no, it was a no-hitter.
No-hitter, sorry. When I saw that, I saw it on Twitter, and I saw it relatively early, and I thought, was that yesterday? Because I'm like, I didn't see that yesterday, and then it threw me because it was such an early game.
He no-hit the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Just the second no-hitter in Padres history.
Who had the first no-hitter in Padres history?
Oh, that's a good trivia question.
Anybody?
You want to take a stab? I know who it is because I saw it today, but they hadn't had one for years. You remember that, right? Like, they had never had one in their history until a couple of years ago.
Just a couple of years ago, huh? So
correct.
A modern guy. I'm trying to think. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Was Darvish, maybe?
That's a good guess. It was Joe Musgrove.
Oh, man. I would not have got that guy.
That guy's a douche.
Is he? Why?
I got into it with the Mets the year that the Padres and those, you know.
He's a little high T.
Yeah, he's super, well, a little.
Yeah.
He needs some of that Rob 33% less T.
36.4.
That guy's a...
I've changed the number.
Okay. We're working on it. Can I also point out my Mets?
You may.
Who
you may.
Are the daddy of the New York Yankees.
They win again today?
Oh, they bitch slapped him yesterday.
Yeah, I hate the Yankees.
Yeah, they're done. They're moving on to the Braves. Now we get to bitch slap the Braves. Let's go.
Did you hear what Severino said? He pitches for the Mets.
What did he say?
He said the Yankees only have two good hitters.
Oh. I'm assuming he's talking about Soto and that other big Frankenstein-looking dude.
Aaron Judge?
You think?
Yeah, I would think. That's it. Two good hitters.
That's what he said.
All right, well.
And that ruffled a lot of Yankee feathers, but he's not wrong. Yeah. Look at the rest of their lineup. Not very good.
Well. All I know is the Mets right now are cruising, and they're slapping around the Yankees.
Your boy Severino talking some ass. What do you think about that?
I think he pitches.
Talking with his helmet.
You cover your helmet! You wear a helmet out there? On the mound? Like a John Olerud sort of thing? He's pitching tonight against the Braves.
Well, you did have that guy on the Mets for a while that wore like the Mario hat. Remember that dude?
Yeah, I do remember that, which is just odd, but... Well, it's going to be weird, too. Like, they say that now in the NFL, they're giving them the option to wear the little great kazoo, the soft cap,
yeah,
on top of that. So that'll be strange if anyone actually decides to do it.
All right, who are the real blue bloods of college football? We will make Sook guess.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Okay, it is, who picked the real blue bloods?
Well, I'll tell you.
A formula.
It is 355 on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.